welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. There's true history in this hour. Later on, from the Cavalcade of America from 1940, but first a broadcast of Sky Blazers from June 26th, 1940 on CBS.
Sky Blazers. Sky Blazers calling Colonel Roscoe Turner. Sky Blazers calling Colonel Roscoe Turner at flight headquarters.
Flight headquarters, Colonel Roscoe Turner speaking. Sky Blazers, coast to coast, stand by. Sky Blazers, stand by.
The makers of Wonder Bread present Sky Blazers, based on the adventures of the men and women who pioneered new trails in the skies that we might fly. In just a moment, we shall transfer you to Colonel Roscoe Turner at flight headquarters. But first, mothers, your own nearby food store has everything you want for a wonderful 4th of July picnic. Yes, cheese, peanut butter, eggs for hard boiling or salad, pickles and potato chips. And say, just tell me, what could be more fun for Dad, the children, and yourself than a wonderful outing in the country? All you need is a nearby field for baseball, a brook for wading, and green shady trees to spread your lunch under. And what a lunch you'll have if you do as good homemakers everywhere are doing, and make your sandwiches with delicious, slow-baked Wonder Bread. For Wonder Bread stays fresh so much longer. That's because Wonder Bread is actually slow-baked. Every single loaf is handled with a mother's care, right from the original mixing to the final wrapping. A loaf of Wonder Bread takes more than 10 full hours to make its trip through our spotless bakery. Stays in temperature-controlled ovens 13% longer than many ordinary breads. And this marvelous slow baking helps to keep each slice moist and tender, tempting and delicious, just right for the best 4th of July sandwiches Mother knows how to make. Ask your grocer for Wonder Bread today. It's the bread he himself probably prefers to any other sold in his food store. Yes, according to recent extensive surveys, more grocers say their wives serve slow-baked Wonder Bread in their homes as those who mention any other bread. And the grocer knows which is the one best, the freshest loaf in his food store. Look for the wrapper decorated with the red, yellow, and blue balloons. Wonder Bread, each loaf, slow baked for lasting freshness.
Now take it away, Colonel Roscoe Turner at flight headquarters. You're on the air.
Contact. Sky Blazers, tonight, instead of airplanes, I want to start with Indians. Apache Indians on the warpath. 70 years ago, in the real Wild West of New Mexico.
Oh, boy! Oh, there! Oh. Oh!
Get that other man in here over the horse here, quick.
I carry over your mail pouches, Ezra?
Hurry it up, Shorty.
Well, Ezra, your shirt's all bloody. You've been shot. We'll get another man.
Another man, nothing. Mail has got to get through.
That was how we took the mail through in the old days, the Pony Express. That's when men was men, Jack. Yes, sir.
I wish I was big like you, Uncle Ezra.
Hmm?
Another fellow's 15 years older, twice as big as I am.
Maybe they be, Jack, but there's no fellow in town within 50 pounds of your weight that dares pick on you. It's not size, Jack. It's the heart and the courage inside that makes a man.
Uncle Ezra, when I'm older, do you suppose I can learn to fly an airplane? I want to do that more than anything in the world.
Jack, you got the stuff that makes men. If you're determined to fly an airplane, I know someday you'll do it. But if you do it, be the best.
Skyblazers, that 15-year-old boy was Jack Knight. And he thought of nothing else except flying. He read about it, lived it, ate it. And then, just as soon as he was old enough, in 1917, he applied to the U.S. Army Air Corps for admission. But he was turned down because he didn't weigh enough. He was refused four times. And then the fifth time, through some error, the question of weight went by unnoticed, and Jack was allowed to take the examination. He passed all the tests with flying colors until the last day, when he was with the instructor in the experimental room.
Well, Knight, this next experiment is to test your muscular control, your ability to concentrate under difficult conditions. You see that pile of boxes there?
Yes, sir.
You've got to walk up one side and down the other. They're piled so that the slightest slip will send the boxes crashing to the floor.
Yes, sir.
Now, before you climb that pile of boxes, Knight, I'm going to whirl you around in this swivel chair 20 times as fast as I can to make you dizzy.
That sure will make it harder.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
Here, take this needle.
Yes.
That's sharp on both ends. Put one point against your thumb, the other point against your forefinger. Hold it steady or it'll prick you.
Ouch.
That's too hard. It'll draw blood.
Yes, sir.
Now, you've got to keep that needle between your fingers while I whirl you in the chair. And while you walk up and down that pile of boxes. If you drop the needle or knock down the boxes, you fail the test.
Huh? Yes, sir. I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to spin you around. Get your feet up. All right, stand up, Knight. Now walk up onto the boxes. Careful. Now down. And don't drop that needle. That's it. Good job, Knight.
Boy. Am I glad that's over?
Congratulations.
Captain, does that mean I'm in the Air Corps as a cadet?
Certainly does. Now, let me check over this report. Say, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell me you were underweight?
Oh, I hoped I wasn't. How much am I underweight, Captain?
5 pounds.
Only 5 pounds? Can't you let me in anyhow?
No, I'm sorry, Knight. I'm awfully sorry. Type of young man we want, and if it were up to me, I'd pass you in a minute. But with all the red tape and regulations, can't break the rules, sorry.
Well, suppose I gained those 5 pounds somehow. Would I be accepted then?
That's right. Come back next year when you're 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah, maybe next year and maybe sooner. I've got to get in the Air Corps somehow.
Hi there, roommate.
Oh,
hey, what's eating you, Jack? You look awful funny.
Nothing's eating me. I'm eating it.
Well, for Pete's sake, look at the banana skins. There must be 3 dozen of them. What happened to the bananas?
They're inside.
Inside what?
Me.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What's in that other bag?
Bananas.
Are you crazy? You gonna eat all those?
Uh-huh. I gotta put on 5 pounds.
You gotta... Oh, boy, do you look sick.
I am sick. Harry, take my arm, will you, please? Help me get back to the Air Corps headquarters. I can't walk alone. I want that captain to weigh me.
I told you, Knight, we can't take you. You're underweight.
Not now.
Captain, give Jack a chance. This is a matter of life and death to him.
Hurry, will you? Weigh me.
All right, Knight. Get on those scales again. Wait a minute. Say, Knight, that's funny. You've gained over 4.5 pounds since you were here before.
I'm not so funny.
But you're still a shade under.
I am? Harry, give me another banana.
Gosh, Jack. All right. Here you are.
Well, Knight, I can see you're a fighter. We need men like you in the Air Corps.
What about my... Wait. No.
Okay, Knight. You've passed. Congratulations.
I swear I'll never eat another banana as long as I live. If I do live.
Skyblazers, that's how Jack Knight got into the Army Air Corps, where he soon became a famous Army flyer. After his honorable discharge in 1919, he was made pilot in the newly organized airmail line. In Cleveland one foggy day, the district air superintendent had been called before the government postmaster.
And that's the way it stands. You're the superintendent of the airmail. This flying of the mail was just an experiment. Well, it's failed. I've just talked to 10 of your flyers. Not one of them will fly the mail through.
But, Mr. Postmaster, you don't know a thing about aviation. It's impossible to fly any plane anywhere in that fog out there.
And aeroplanes have no right to be carriers of the United States mail.
Well, now, look. Now we'll settle the whole thing. Here's Jack Knight, the best flyer we've got.
You sent for me, Superintendent?
Yes, Jack. The postmaster will tell you why.
Yes, sir.
Knight, the air superintendent and myself have called you in for a showdown.
Showdown?
Will you fly the afternoon mail plane to Bellefonte, Pennsylvania?
Well, this is my day off, sir.
You see, Superintendent, another excuse. Every one of your pilots has made some excuse not to fly that mail out to Bellefonte today.
Now, just a minute, Postmaster. I'm not making any excuse, though a duck wouldn't fly in this fog.
We've either got air mail or we haven't. If we have to ground the planes every time there's a fog, it proves that carrying mail by plane is impractical. And I shall recommend to Washington that the United States air mail be discontinued.
I'll take the mail to Bellefonte, Postmaster.
Knight, if you think this trip is going to be too dangerous, I don't want you to take the plane up.
Well, sir, if we're ever going to have an air mail in this country, I guess a lot of us flyers have got to take some chances. Superintendent, here's a memo I've just been jotting down. Will you take it, please?
Oh, yes. Sure, Jack.
Thanks. And now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I guess the mail truck must be waiting to take me out to the field.
Good luck, Jack.
Good luck, Knight. Superintendent, I think you're too timid. Your own pilot thinks he can get through all right. What's that memo he left with you?
Hmm? Oh, this. This might interest you. Read it.
I, Jack Knight, do hereby bequeath all my personal belongings. Say, this is his last will and testament.
I can't stand listening to that plane up there circling the airport. Knight's been circling Bellefonte now for 30 minutes.
Since he can't stay up there forever, O'Brien.
Yeah, we know what that means. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for Jack Knight's chances of getting down alive in this fog.
Mr. O'Brien, I've got an idea.
Don't bother me, Billy Wayne.
But I've got an idea how to help Jack Knight spot the airfield.
Well, what is it, kid? It can't do any harm.
Well, maybe. Maybe he could smell his way to the field. He could.
What do you think Jack Knight is? A bloodhound? Go away, Billy.
But Mr. O'Brien, if we made a great big fire with gallons and gallons of old engine oil, the smell would go way up in the air, and Jack Knight would know the smell of burning engine oil anyway.
Billy, that's the craziest idea I ever heard, but we're going to try it.
Come on, fellas, get going. Bring out those barrels of dirty oil. We got to hurry if we're going to save Jack Knight.
Skyblazers. They built that fire on the Bellefonte landing field, and while Jack Knight didn't smell the burning oil, he did see the smoke, and so was able to come down to a safe landing. One of the strangest landings in the history of aviation. But in February of 1921, strong opposition arose in Congress to any further appropriations for airmail. In the Capitol building in the House of Representatives, the debate went on for hours.
Aviation is all right for a stunt. But when we are asked to vote on appropriation of over $1 million to continue this experiment of airmail, I say we're just throwing good money after bad. Airmail hasn't amounted to anything, doesn't amount to anything, and won't amount to anything. Airplanes can't fly at night. What good is it when I send a letter to California by airmail, and every night that letter has to be taken off a plane and carried on a train all night? No, sir, that doesn't make sense. And I urge the appropriation for airmail be struck out of the bill.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker. The chair recognizes the gentleman from New Jersey.
Mr. Speaker, I was informed by the Post Office Department an hour ago that they are arranging for a coast-to-coast 36-hour flight of the mail on February 22nd. I suggest we hold up further discussion of this appropriation until after that flight has been attempted. If this test flight fails, Congress will unanimously agree to put an end to airmail.
Well, yes.
Skyblazers, every airmail pilot volunteered to take part in that test flight. Jack Knight was finally chosen to fly the first half of the night on the west-to-east run from North Platte to Omaha. There were no beacons to mark the course in those days and no system of weather reports. But Jack Knight had his own ideas. The day before the test flight, Jack landed his plane at a lonely ranch house on the Platte River in Nebraska.
Your visit. My name's Jack Knight.
Hey, you the mail plane that I see going overhead every day?
That's right.
Well, I'm Sam Burgess, Mr. Knight. Mighty glad to meet you.
How do you do? Now, Mr. Burgess, I gotta have your help.
Well, now, spit her out. What can I do for you?
Well, tomorrow I'm flying a route at night. First time it's ever been done. Now, Mr. Burgess, I want you to build a bonfire right out here on the prairie.
Kind of a guiding light for you, huh?
All right. Will you do it?
Mister, pretty darn lonely out here to my ranch house. We're a long way from town. We don't have much company dropping in. Somehow, me and the old lady got to thinking of your plane going over every day kind of like a friend. Well, building a bonfire ain't much to do for a friend, is it?
Thanks a lot, Mr. Burgess.
Could you stay and have a little bite of dinner with us, Mr. Knight? We're having liver.
Well, I'd sure like to, Mr. Burgess, but I've got to talk to six more ranchers along the way. Oh, say, one more thing. Have you got a telephone?
Yeah, had one put in last year.
Now, if I call you just before I start out, will you stick your head out the window and see what the weather's doing?
Of course I will. What time you figure on starting out?
10:30 tomorrow night from North Platte.
And so, as mayor of the city of North Platte, I want to extend to you, Jack Knight, our good wishes for the trip you're about to undertake. This first night airmail flight will go down in history as a great pioneering effort.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I wish you Godspeed and a safe journey through the night.
10:29, Jack.
Okay, I'm ready. Your Honor,
yes?
Will you have the police keep the people back from the runway?
I sure will, Jack. Oh, Chief, get those people back.
All right, Jack.
Hey, Pete, have you checked with all the ranchers?
Every bonfire's burning from here to Omaha.
Okay, then, I'm taking off.
For Omaha.
Not due here in Omaha for 15 minutes.
Well, he's here. Coming in for a landing. Get the post office to send that mail truck out here to the airport right away.
Right.
I'll go out on the field and tell Jack the bad news.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Harry.
15 minutes ahead of schedule. Say, Harry, where's the pilot that's going to take over? Why isn't he out here on the field?
Well, Jack, there's bad news.
Oh. One of the boys crack up?
No, but it's ceiling zero over most of Iowa. Test flight is canceled.
Canceled? Well, they can't do that. We've got to prove to Congress we can take the mail through.
Word came through from Chicago a half hour ago that they'd already stopped the westbound plane and put the mail on the train. Orders are to stop the eastbound mail here and put it on the next train to Chicago.
Just because there's a little bad weather. Where's the pilot that was going to take over?
Chief sent him home when the news came through. There was quite a crowd here, but they all cleared out. Now all there is here is the chief, myself, and another mechanic waiting to put this plane to bed.
Harry, I'm going on to Chicago.
You're going where?
I'm going to take the mail through. I got to, Harry. The whole future of airmail hangs in the balance right now.
Well, you're crazy, Jack. You've never flown this run to Chicago. You haven't even got any maps.
Well, that makes it tougher, but the mail through, and I'm taking it.
Well, have you got gas enough, Jack?
Enough to last Iowa City. I'll gas up there. Twist your tail. The switch is off.
Gas on?
Gas on.
Hello, Chicago Airport. Airmail headquarters.
This is the Omaha Airport calling. Jack Knight took off 20 minutes ago with the mail for Chicago.
What?
Yep, Jack's going to refuel in Iowa City.
In Iowa City? But there's nobody there. They closed the airport, turned off all the lights, and everybody went home an hour ago when we canceled the flight.
Good Lord.
Well, get hold of the manager of the Iowa City Airport.
But I can't get Iowa City. The storm's blown down all the wires.
There's nothing we can do then. Heaven help him up there in that storm.
Sky blazes, hour by hour, the storm got worse. The airport in Iowa City, lashed by gales and driving rains, was deserted except for the watchman, Frank Jones.
Cutting across the field on my way home from work, Frank. Saw your lantern through the window and came in to rest.
Yeah, I got
it. About tuckered out fighting that storm.
Yeah, it's a terrible night out.
Oh, the fellas.
Well, they all went home hours ago and the airmail flight was canceled. No plane could ever get...
What is it, Frank?
It sounded like a plane.
Plane? Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, I don't hear it anymore. Nobody could be up there in that storm anyhow. It must have been the wind. Well, how's the missus?
Oh, she's feeling better this morning, Frank. Thanks.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. You know, best thing for her is just stay in bed for the next few days.
Yeah. Well, better be getting along, Frank.
Okay. I think I'll stretch out here and get me 40 winks of sleep. I'm glad you stopped in, Al.
Frank, there is a plane up there.
Yeah, I hear it. By the sound, he's circling overhead.
He's trying to find the field.
Quick, Al, we got a light flare. They're in my lock. Come on, help me get these flares lit. I'll put one flare here. Hold your head over it, Al, while I light it.
Yeah. That's got it. Listen, Frank. His motor's missing. He must be out of gas.
He'll crack up. He can't help it.
I can see his lights. He's going to land.
Get back from the flare. Give him all the room there is.
He's going to hit those telephone lines.
No, he missed them. Hey, Snake, come on. You crazy galoot. Who are you flying in weather like this?
I'm Jack Knight. The airmail from Omaha.
A mail plane?
Yeah, and I need gasoline in a hurry.
You need what?
Gasoline. I'm going on to Chicago.
You're
going
to fly to Chicago in this weather?
Yeah, hurry it up, will you? This load of mail is due in Chicago at 9 tomorrow morning. It's going to be there. Are you the telegraph operator?
Yes, sir.
I've got an important message I want to send to my uncle. Take it down, will you, please? To Ezra Bolton, San Jose, California. Just say the mail got through. Sign it, Jack Knight.
Skyblazers, from the date of Jack Knight's famous night flight airmail, was here to stay. 2 days later, Congress passed a bill authorizing the continuation of airmail service and providing for the erection of air beacons for night flying. Today, great airliners fly that same route over the Iowa prairies, 10,000 feet above the earth. They are equipped with two-way radio beam, retractable landing gear, the static suppressor, automatic pilot, and 101 other ideas and aids to air navigation that Jack Knight didn't have. But Jack, who is now Director of Public Education for United Airlines, is still a great pilot with more actual hours of flying than any other man.
Skyblazers, on Tuned to Yesterday, a short-run series on CBS that was from June 26, 1940. You're listening to an hour of true history on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeFilnier. Now a story penned by Carl Sandburg called The Story of Nancy Hanks, who is the mother of Abraham Lincoln, featuring the talent of Agnes Moorhead, who had starred in her first Cavalcade episode in March of 1940 and would be heard on the show many times through the end of 1941. She portrays Hanks in this NBC Blue Network broadcast from May 7th, 1940.
The Cavalcade of America, presented by DuPont. The story of Nancy Hanks, mother of Abraham Lincoln. Starring the well-known radio actress Agnes Moorhead in the role of Nancy Hanks.
My name was Nancy Hanks. I was born in Virginia and brought to the wilderness when I was yet a babe. I never seen my pa, but Maud loved him, and I grew to love him too, I reckon. Ma said he was a gentleman. I liked to stay to myself. I was always like that, like I was waiting, like looking afar off and waiting for things to happen. Like I knowed what they were to be before they came to pass. Like seeing Tom Lincoln that day, crossing the field yonder, and waiting to hear the words I knowed he'd come to speak.
I'm minded to marry you, Nancy. I'm come to get your answer.
I knowed that was your thought, Tom.
I bought a piece of land over at Elizabethtown.
Elizabethtown? You see the hills from there?
I aim to build a cabin there first, Nancy.
Oh, Tom, I'm proud to be spoke for by such a man as you.
It ain't much I can offer you. Just a home and my love, Nancy.
Tom, I can't say the words I want to say.
Is it that you love another, Nancy?
No, Tom, I love you well. It's just...
What's the matter, Nancy?
I can't rightly say it, Tom. It's like the purple light yonder in the hills. But when you get to the hills, it ain't there anymore. It's always yonder.
You're a girl, Nancy, and girls get to thinking like that.
But so much of me is like that.
You'll be happy, Nancy, I promise.
No, Tom, it wouldn't be fair to you.
Nancy, you're a strange woman. I don't rightly know what you're saying. But I believe God meant you and me to marry together. I'm coming back again tomorrow, and I aim to make you my wife.
I, Nancy Hanks, take thee, Thomas Lincoln, to be my lawful wedded husband, to have and to hold, to love, honor, and obey, until death do us part.
I, Thomas Lincoln, take thee, Nancy Hanks, to be my lawful wedded wife, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish until death do us part.
I was happy that day to be Tom's wife. And after the preacher finished the reading, come the wedding feast, what we used to call hen fair in Kentucky. The men had shot bear and venison and wild turkey and duck. And the women folk had worked for many days to prepare it all. And there they all were with the music and dancing.
Prepare the feast. There'll be a race for the best bottle of whiskey in Kentucky.
Well, hang the bygone, let's go.
Mind you there, Dennis. Be off with it. You'll not be in a race to get a bottle of whiskey. Men, the race will be from here to yonder kiver and back. And the winner gets the whiskey. All right, now. Line up.
Mind you don't win the race, Charlie.
Maybe it won't be so hard to make certain of that, Jenny.
I'd make certain who'd win if I was in it.
Oh, would you? You ain't got the chance of a mud turtle even.
Hey, don't you go blabbing off to me that way.
Here. Be quiet now. Our start.
All right, men. On your marks. Get set. Go.
Run, Charlie, run. You can win if you will.
I thought you said you didn't want your Charlie to win.
It's the whiskey. I don't want him to win, Aunt Peggy. But he must win the race.
Looks like Tom Lincoln's ahead now.
It isn't over yet.
Oh,
get
run,
there, Charlie, run.
Here they are. Get Tom Lincoln's race.
It's the best sprinter I ever see. All right, folks. All right. The winner of the race and the whiskey, Tom Lincoln.
Thank you. Thanks. My lucky day, I guess.
Well, ain't you gonna pass it around, Tom?
Reckon I will. But first, I want to propose a toast to the lady who this day's made me the happiest man in the world, Nancy Hanks Lincoln.
It's done at last. Ain't much, but it's our home.
It's our home. The prettiest place in the world, Tom.
Oh, it ain't that. I know it ain't. I hankered to do much better for you, but I will, Nancy. I will, too.
I'll be happy here.
I want you to be. I hope you'll be, Nancy.
Oh, Tom, you're so good. We'll both be happy in this place. I know that.
While the weather's fine, I'll hew boards for the floor. And a smooth pine table. Would you like that, Nancy? Nancy, you ain't even looking at the house.
Over yonder, Tom. White blossom. Crab apple. Wild crab apple.
Oh, yes. Right pretty, ain't it? Not as pretty as you are, though.
And the hills yonder. Like I knowed it would be.
Yeah, sure. But come on, Nancy. Look at that cabin. You see that there stick clay chimney? You think you can be happy in such a place?
So happy, Tom. So happy it fair hurts me to think on it. It was a fair land. But for Tom, it was rocky, and the clay stuck to the plowshare. For me, it was scrubbing, washing, patching, and fixing. But there was a rock spring, and sometimes I'd sit there looking off to the hills. It was there one day I knew I'd not be looking yonder alone come springtime. But my time was coming.
Nancy, you've been yonder to Rock Spring again.
Yes, Tom.
I asked you not to go there alone, Nancy. It ain't safe in that timber. You recollect what happened to Tim Beardsley?
I won't die. Not like that, Tom.
But I'm telling you... Nancy, what's ailing you?
I'm to bear you a child.
Nancy.
It'll be a man-child.
A son. I'll be right proud to have a son, Nancy. Right proud.
You will be. Oh, so proud you'll like to be.
And you'll be happy, Nancy.
Yes. Yes, Tom, every hour that God shall give me to be with my son.
Hi, hi, neighbor.
Good morning, Tom.
Wait. Where you be off to?
Oh, down to the creek, grab a fish line or two.
Will you go by the granny woman?
Aunt Peggy Walters? Well, she's to the side of the slope.
Sure, but fetch her, will you, neighbor?
Oh, can't, Tom. Those fish don't bite, Aunt.
You got to fetch the granny woman for me, neighbor. I can't leave. Nancy needs help starting now.
Oh, sure. Sure, I'll fetch her. Sure, Tom. Right away.
I think he favors his paw, Mike. Don't you, Dennis?
He don't look like nothing, Miss Lincoln. Babies never do.
Dennis, what do you say? Who does he favor?
Why, I don't rightly know, Nancy.
Would you look at that chin of yours, Miss Lincoln? A blushing to the helm. Did you never see a wee baby before, Dennis?
Well, yes, but not like that. I mean, ain't he ailing a mite?
Of course he ain't ailing, Dennis. Why do you say that?
He'd be so red of face and wrinkled like a monkey he is.
All new babies look like that, Dennis.
Oh, could I hold him a mite?
Be careful, Dennis, for you are the first boy he's ever seen.
Oh, there now. Up you go. Oh, I'm thinking he don't take to me.
You ain't holding him right, Dennis. Here, now... Like to this. You see?
Oh, like this?
That's it.
What will you name him, Nancy?
I'm going to name him Abraham.
Abraham?
Yes, for his grandfather. Abraham Lincoln. It's a right sounding name.
Read me some more of the Bible, Ma.
Well, Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord.
Is that the end of the story, Ma?
No, Abe. For it was there that Moses got the Ten Commandments and led his people out of slavery.
Ma?
Yes, Abe?
Did Moses truly talk to God?
Truly, Abe.
But, Ma, why don't God talk with folks nowadays?
He does, Abe, but folks ain't a-listening.
If folks was listening, Ma, would it sound... like thunder?
No, Abe. It'd be like in the night, here in our cabin, when you get up from your pallet to put sticks on the fire before the light comes. And I say, is that you, Abe? And you say, yes, Ma.
it's me.
Son?
What are you building?
A raft.
Raft? What for, Pa?
Well, don't tell your Ma yet. But we're fixing to move on up the river to Indiana.
Tom, Lincoln, stop that pounding. Your wife's sleeping. Her and the new baby.
All right, Aunt Peggy. How is Nancy?
Well, she's well enough. Now, get on about your business, Tom. I've got my work to do. And don't be coming into the house.
Well, I reckon that leaves nothing for us to do but talk, eh?
Why are we going to Indiana, Pa?
Because of the new settlers. They're coming up from the south, thousands of them. Some with slaves, too. The independent farmer ain't got a chance.
What does independent mean, Pa?
Well, I reckon it means being poor. Having nothing at all. Slaves ain't independent, but they don't need to worry where the next meals are coming from. What's the matter, Abe? You look as solemn as a papoose.
I was thinking. Ma told me of another big word. Predestination.
Whew, that's a whopper. What's that mean, Abe?
Well, it means that what's going to happen there... going to happen anyways, and folks can't do nothing to stop it. Maybe it's like that about us going to Indiana. The new baby and everything.
Yeah, your Ma believes on that, not me. Why, I remember one time...
Tom.
Yeah, Aunt Peggy?
You'd better come on in right away.
I'm coming. Why, what's wrong? What are you about to say?
The new baby. Can't have breathing no more.
Don't tell Nancy yet. Let her sleep. I'll tell her in the morning.
Is your pa near finished loading the raft, Abe?
Almost, Ma. Right soon we'll be riding her to Indiana.
You'll like that, won't you?
You will too, Ma. Riding like Pharaoh's daughter on the Nile.
Oh, Abe. My little Abe. My little shirt tail boy.
Ma, you want to go to Indiana, don't you?
Of course, Abe. It's just leaving the hills that's made me grieve. Abe, I want you to promise me something.
Yes, Ma?
When we get to Indiana, you must go to the teaching woman again.
I know, Ma.
Don't let nothing ever stop your learning.
I won't.
It'll be powerful hard, Abe. And there'll be some folks that won't understand.
Why won't folks understand?
'Cause some folks is content, Abe. They want things to be like they always was. But you ain't to be that way, Abe.
I promise you, Ma. I'll mind my learning.
Abe. Oh, I can't say the word when you're such a little tyke. But I have a feeling, Abe, like you were going to have burdens when you get out yonder. And I want you strong to carry them.
I'll remember, Ma. I promise you.
You were right, Abe.
You can read it if you'd like to, Ma.
Abraham Lincoln, his hand and pen, he will be good, but God knows when. Oh, you're learning fast and right well, Abe.
The teaching woman at the school was saying I learn most too fast.
Maybe it is a compliment.
Ma?
Yes?
The teaching woman were telling of the president. He lives in a great house in a city in the east. There's thousands of people back there, she says, living in houses right up against each other. There's no woods in between.
You'll see them things one day.
I ain't never to see them things, Ma.
Why don't you want to see them, Abe?
I don't rightly know. I reckon I'm scared of all them people together. Like they were in the courthouse square when the speechmaker come in Kentucky. Him talking them big words and wearing queer store-bought clothes and them all yelling their heads off. I was scared. I felt kind of sick-like.
You'll feel different when you're grown up, Abe.
No. I won't feel no different. Them people are mean. They aim to harm each other.
No, Abe, they don't aim to do no harm. They don't know no better. I never had no book learning, Abe. But your grandma come all the way from Virginia and seen a lot in her day. And she told me folks ain't never really mean. Some folks is just powerful ignorant. I reckon that's the way it truly is, Abe.
Abe? Abe?
Yes, Pa?
Go fetch me a pail of water. I aim to wash up and rest tomorrow.
I'll fetch it right off, Pa.
Cabin must be nigh finished, Tom.
We'll move in tomorrow, Nancy. Hope you like it.
I'll like it.
There's some logs left over.
Logs?
Anything you'd like me to make you with them?
Save them, Tom. And keep them dry. Maybe I'll need something later on. I were right happy in the new house, singing while I'd done my chores. But come summer, I begun thinking back to the hills, back yonder in Kentucky. And then come the sickness in Indiana. And I knowed then why I asked Tom to save them logs and keep them dry. For I felt a bitter burning in my throat. And I know.
Shall I read you some more out of the book, Ma?
Read me the psalm about the hill. The one I love so well, Abe.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help.
You remember the hills in Kentucky, Tom? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills.
Nancy.
I just can't say the words I want to say, Tom.
Rest, Nancy. Rest quiet now.
Remember the schooling, Tom. I want Abe to learn all he can.
I know.
It's meant to be. Now you know what I was meaning about always being yonder in my mind, Tom.
Yes, Nancy.
You see, it's meant to be. Promise me, Tom.
I promise.
Abe.
Yes, Ma?
Grow up, Abe. Be good to your pa. And be good to your people. And remember me when you're out yonder.
Nancy Hanks came back as a ghost, seeking news of what she loved most. She'd ask first,
"Where's my son? What's happened to Abe? What's he done? Poor little Abe, left all alone, except for Tom, who's a rolling stone. He was only 9 the year I died.
I remember still how hard he cried, scraping along in a little shack with hardly a shirt to cover his back, and the prairie wind a-blowing down, or pinching times if he went to town. You wouldn't know about my son. Did he grow tall? Did he have fun? Did he learn to read? Did he get to town? Do you know his name? Did he get on?
In tribute to American motherhood, the Cavalcade of America honors the memory of Nancy Hanks, mother of Abraham Lincoln.
Cavalcade of America, Untuned to Yesterday, from the 7th of May, 1940, on the NBC Blue Network. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of true history, Untuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.